Back at it once again with you on a steamy Monday, June 7th, 2021, right here on Connecticut Today. Joe Scully joined us from the Motor Transport Association of Connecticut. Again, this tax, this use fee, whatever you want to call it, rearing its head for big rigs in Connecticut. If that's levied, who's going to pay for it? And Kevin Rennie made a return after a while being away from the program. Kevin at the top of the 4 o'clock hour. He's a political blogger for the Hartford Courant. Also has his own blog, Daily Ructions. com. We talked about state politics and his highlighting a story a few days ago of legislators just drinking too much at the state capitol. So we talk marijuana, we talk budgets and all this, what'll eventually be signed, who the heck knows. Now, after the budget talks last week, turns out the Transportation Climate Initiative is it's not dead, it's probably in a stasis field right now. A surcharge on insurance looks to be dead for now. What has survived, though, is a usage fee for some truckers here in the state. And if you drive a big rig or something other, you may want to listen up here. Joe Scully joins us from the Motor Transport Association of Connecticut for a return visit. Hey, Joe, it's Paul here. How are you?
Paul, good afternoon. Thanks for having me.
Well, Joe, thanks for making yourself available. We appreciate it. Okay, so give us the lowdown, the skinny here. Is this a tax? Is it a usage fee? I know it was alive, then it was dead, and now it's apparently risen from the grave again. What is going on here?
Yeah, it's incredible. I mean, Governor Lamont is doing everything he can to just target small business trucking companies with taxes. This is a tax, to answer your question. I tweeted earlier today, the title of the bill is an act concerning a highway use fee. I mean, if you read the actual text of the bill, it uses the word tax. It says tax 59 times in there. And I'll tell you, it's designed, they think it's going to bring in tax money from out-of-state trucks, but really it's going to be the opposite. It's going to tax small business trucking companies that are located here in the state of Connecticut. But since there's going to be no roadside enforcement of it, I mean, the proponents of this even call it a voluntary tax, a tax that's going to be administered on the honor system, you're not going to get any money from out-of-state trucks on this. So it's a plan that is designed to fail, in my opinion, and we've seen this type of tax fail in 20 other states. But on its way to failure, it's going to really smash small business trucking companies located here in Connecticut. It's going to be bad for business and bad for the people that work at those businesses.
Yeah, so Joe, I was wondering on the out-of-state trucks here, I mean, look, there's obviously, as far as I understand it, Joe, there's no real electronic component here. So is this just going to be honor system? Okay, my odometer said this when I entered Connecticut, and my odometer said that when I left Connecticut on certain roads. Is that how they think this is going to work?
I mean, yes, basically, it sounds crazy, right? File a monthly report. Tell us how many miles traveled in Connecticut for truck one, for truck two, for truck three. Do a calculation, file the report, and send us the payment with it. I think it's kind of like tolls 2.0, right? Again, tolls was aimed at trucks, money from out-of-state trucks. And so this is an even worse idea, quite honestly. It's not going to work. And what's going to happen is in 2 years, we're going to be right back to, we need more money for transportation. And, yeah. And what is that? Is that, do you start charging cars mileage taxes or do you go for tolls? Because I can tell you this thing has a history of failure. And I just don't know why Connecticut thinks they'll be able to implement this tax where everyone else who has tried it has failed, really.
So how does it work then, Joe Scully, for in-state trucks? Are we talking, as you've been able to see the bill, and I'm sure if you haven't, you have folks who've read it, is this big rigs? Is this box trucks? What's the reporting? What's the fee? How's this supposedly going to work for Connecticut-registered vehicles or vehicles that drive here on our roads, maybe locally owned and operated?
Yeah, so essentially it is tractor trailers, but you know what they seem to be overlooking or forgetting or ignoring or whatever you might want to say is we've got tractor trailers based here as well. I have companies that bring gas to gas stations, and they also bring home heating oil to your house, and it's going to cost them, you know, $200,000 per year. Grocery distributors, I have a grocery distributor member who said it's going to cost them $1 million a year just in taxes, and this company is headquartered here in Connecticut. So a grocery store, you know, that's a lot of increased cost to that store now, who in turn, you know, doesn't mark up their product very much, so they're not going to be able to eat the cost. So ultimately, they're going to have to charge their grocery store customer more. It's just the law of economics. Supply chain costs get passed down to the end consumer, and that's what will happen here. I know the proponents deny it, but our members have said, look, I know my business. I know how I operate. I can't absorb hundreds of thousands of dollars per year. I'll have to raise my rates. So that's what will happen here.
Does this, Joe Scully, have enough support to pass, or might this be still unpalatable to enough people where they may just say, no, not this time around? Or is it a fait accompli?
That's the million-dollar question, right? Everyone being, I guess, the governor and legislative leaders says, oh, it's going to pass. However, they said that about tolls, and the governor said that about TCI. The governor's Twitter account actually said, ignore what the trucking industry says. We're going to pass TCI. And, well, TCI is dead. So I'm going to keep spreading the word on this on behalf of our small business members located here in Connecticut. If it passes, you know, we'll go down fighting it. But if anyone listening, you know, supports us and supports small business, email your state reps and state senators now, because if they're going to do this tomorrow, minds could conceivably be changed overnight if they hear from people in their district that this is going to hit. So get active.
And I think, Joe, part of the mindset here, unfortunately, look, I have no connection to a trucking company. I don't own trucks. Nobody in my family does. I have no dog or pony in this race, whatever. But I think, Joe, there's a mentality here, and we saw this with the tolling too, where the specter of, oh, it's only big rigs, it's only 18-wheelers. I mean, everything is laid at the feet of the big trucks, and yet there's a lot of them out there. I get it. I understand it. But they're performing a service, Joe. It's not like they're Godzilla. It's not like they're Rodan. It's not like, you know, they're destroying things. Inside those trucks, when they're full, is stuff that's got to get somewhere. And eventually, the transportation costs, as you say, whether it's oil or driver time or fuel or mileage, that's all paid for by somebody somehow.
And also, Paul, you know, let's remember, this pops into my head as you were going through that, COVID-19, when that first hit, truckers were heroes to everybody, right? They were on local media coverage, national media coverage. I mean, I had officials within the state government calling me and saying, we're worried about empty store shelves. What can we do for you? What can we do to help you? And we did some things. And now, you know, a year later, that same government is coming after us. Why? It's hard to see. It really is. I guess there was a short honeymoon, so to speak, the admiration for truckers. But that's where we are right now.
Honey, I love you. Get out and cut the lawn. The website is mtac.us, mtac.us, the Motor Transport Association of Connecticut. Joe Scully is the head. Joe, good to speak with you. We'll be in touch. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Paul.
Thanks. Appreciate it. Joe Scully there. Go online. Check him out, mtac.us. So apparently, as Joe said, and this is kind of one of the things I wanted to check with him on this, for the out-of-state trucks, this is on the honor system? Well, all right, I guess. A lot of stuff we do is on the honor system, I guess. Taxes sometimes are on the honor system, mileage, whatever. So if you pay, you pay, but if you don't, it gets a little greasy for you, doesn't it? We'll see. This gentleman, it's been a while since we had him on. He's a former state legislator, currently a columnist for the Hartford Current, following politics, also has his own blog, Daily Ructions. DailyRuckshins.com, DailyRuckshins.com. A lot of people went to that blog maybe for the first time last week or a couple of weeks back when we had the unfortunate incident of an impaired legislator, should we say. But all that and more we'll discuss with Kevin Rennie, who's with us. Hey, Kevin, it's Paul again, sir. How are you?
I am well, thank you.
Did you?
Thank you for inviting me to be on your program.
Oh, it's always great to hear from you, Kevin. It's been a while. Were you in any way surprised at the reaction of the people had to maybe the unfortunate situation we had with that legislator in the General Assembly? Surprise you or not?
No, I think, you know, most people who go to their workplace understand that there's no drinking there, and you can't be obviously intoxicated at your job, and so that when leaders are making laws at the legislature while it's in session, and certainly one of them appeared to be quite drunk over a week ago, that I figured people would be surprised to see that. You know, in most state agencies, you not only can you not consume alcohol, you can't possess alcohol on the premises.
Yeah.
So the idea that the leaders in the state are drinking while at work, I think it comes as certainly a disappointment. And I think probably a surprise to most people. That was just a vivid example of what goes on.
Yeah, and Kevin, we should mention you are a former state legislator, and you well know, Kevin, and whether it's a town council or a state-level office or in Congress, you and I have read the stories, and you know personally probably that conviviality, to some extent, is necessary for lawmaking. But again, this situation, first of all, I feel bad. I didn't even use her name on the air. I feel bad for that legislator. But again, Kevin, at a time where people were, you know, taken out of their norm and their mainstream to see this, you know, I just looked at it and went, nah, not good, not good.
Yeah, I don't think you have to apply many analytical skills to realize that it's not good for people to be drinking when they're working. And the consumption of alcohol at the state capitol has sort of gone in waves over the years. There are times when there's more of it going on over in some years than in others. And it struck me that while the legislature refuses to open its doors to the public, that members of the legislature are spread out around the two buildings, the legislative campus, and they have time on their hands, and they're not required to be in the chamber, and so they have been drinking, and the stories I've heard were becoming alarming, and I think that a tragedy was becoming more likely.
And of course, Speaker Ritter got out in front of it, which I thought from a messaging point was proper. Kevin, you also wrote a piece a few days back, a pretty insightful and entertaining piece, I thought. Ned Lamont, boy, he, number one, as I like to say on the show here, he's not Dan Malloy. We've all found that out. He gets points for that in my book. But, boy, I'll tell you, it's interesting, kind of the inter-party thing, Kevin, I think that's going on between Ned Lamont, essentially a rich white guy from Fairfield County, and members of his party who want him to go after guys just like him, and he's saying, no, we're not going to do that.
Well, that's right. He, as we sometimes say, you can take the governor out of Greenwich, but you can't take the Greenwich out of the governor. And, you know, he and Mrs. Lamont are among the wealthiest people in the nation. And Mrs. Lamont's business, that she's been a great success at, her business is money. And she's an investor. And so they are aware of the effect of taxes, much more so than many other people. And in Greenwich, it is money and taxes and real estate values are an obsession with many of the people who live there. and so that he is around it a lot, and he understands what many Republicans have been saying for years, is that every time you increase taxes at the upper end, Connecticut has seen a decline in revenues because people can leave. It's much easier for people who live in a place like Greenwich and work in New York, for instance, in finance. They can move now really easily to a low tax state and still carry on their professions and their careers. And it's just he is acutely aware of that.
Kevin Rennie is the guest. He's a political columnist for the Hartford Current. Also, check out his blog at dailyructions.com. Kevin, if you're a former Republican legislator, we should let people know. So if you're the Republican Party, Kevin, right now, and after you figure out who your new chairman or chairperson's going to be with the party elections, then you look at the likelihood of Ned Lamond running again, we all think, and the likelihood that he will spend boku bucks again as he did the first time. The legislative races, Kevin, you and I know, are completely different animals. But if you're a Republican, if you're Themis Claridis, maybe, or if you're Bob Stefanowski or maybe somebody else, how do you run against Ned Lamond, who's got approval ratings in the mid-60s and who a lot of independents may say, yeah, he's a Democrat, but he's kind of almost a liberal Republican in his monetary ideas? What does the GOP do?
Well, the Republican Party is largely been rejected by Connecticut voters in the last several years. I think that's attributable to general revulsion at Donald Trump. Mm-hmm. And no one really has stepped forward to separate themselves from Donald Trump. And so it's likely that they will suffer the same fate as they have in the last two elections. And they have brought it on themselves. So I think that, in addition to the fact that I think there are almost 400,000 more Democrats and Republicans in Connecticut now, that you have the added challenge and hurdle that that there are many, many voters who simply now will not consider voting for a Republican.
Mm-hmm. And that hurts the party. Finally, Kevin, by all that we read, there may be the next showdown for the governor, maybe in the next month or so, with state unions. I understand there's a window coming up for mass retirements. How many there'll be, nobody really knows. But the governor has said, I think to his credit, listen, we will modernize, we will streamline, and that may mean less jobs. What do you think CBAC is thinking about all of this right now?
Well, I think that if they read the very expensive report that the governor hired his friends at the Boston Consulting Group to prepare, mm-hmm. that they have nothing to worry about, because most of the changes that were recommended in that report require negotiations, and I don't think Governor Lamont has any interest at all in negotiating changes with state unions. He's talked about it before. He's never done it, and I don't think he'll start now. Just a year and a half from an election.
Yes, because all those union
talk and nothing. Those unions are very important in the Democratic organization, and I don't think that he has the stomach for making changes that report points out are necessary.
And as we all know, Kevin, it's not just a single union person voting. It's usually their husband or wife or son or daughter or significant other. So as I always tell people, take that union number, whatever you think it may be, and multiply it, as you well know, effectively by two or three. And in a state of 3.5 million people, that's a huge number of votes.
Well, yes, but it's not just that. It's that they are very active in local Democratic organizations, and they're well known to him as someone who he's run for statewide office three times, spent $50 million of his fortune. So he is familiar with how influential those union members are just in the operation of local town committees and getting things done within the Democratic Party.
Kevin Rennie, thank you. Columnist for the Hartford Current. You can read him often there at thecurrent.com and online also his own blog, dailyructions.com. Kevin, good to talk with you. We'll chat down the road.
You.
Appreciate the time. Thank you, Kevin. Appreciate it. Kevin Rennie joining us this afternoon. All right.